Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon, 17 after 12, and this is the Friday edition of GX on Agriculture. We have a great show coming up for you today. In the words of, I believe it was Yul Brynner who said in one of those old flicks, no brag, just fact. I think that was the line he used, and I think I'll adopt that one for today's program because we have all sorts of interesting info to share with you on the show today, including Saskatoon researchers have discovered a new species of midge that affects canola. I talked with Dr. Boyd Morey at AAFC Saskatoon Research and Development Center about that this morning, and that story will highlight today's program. First, though, the Agriculture Weather Outlook is a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous, New Holland, and Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
Now, Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. Nice sunny day here today. Phil, what are our expectations for the weekend ahead?
Well, the weekend is going to be a bit changeable as far as this warm-up that we've been in. And again, we have to use the term warm-up because it's relative. It's warmer than it was. But still, we haven't gotten back to the point of warm. And in the foreseeable future, we don't really get back into warm. We don't even get back to seasonable. We have another drop in the temperatures that comes in for the second half of the weekend, and then our recovery begins anew. Today, tomorrow, about as warm as we'll get through this warm-up. Temperature this afternoon at minus 12. A light breeze, southerly 10 to as high as 20. It's light overall, but it's enough to drive the wind chill down, keep it at minus 20 for most of the afternoon. But a sunny day. Mainly clear sky holds through the afternoon and holds through tonight as well. Our temperature falls off to minus 20. The wind will likely ease up off of the 20, but still we're in that 10 to 20 range through the night, so wind chills do drop down closer to minus 30 during the night. Into the day tomorrow, cloud cover is going to be on the increase through the day. We are watching a storm system that's really intensifying off to our southeast. It's going to become a pretty impressive snowstorm for the Great Lakes, for most of Ontario, maybe grazing eastern Manitoba. But for us, all it's doing is it's pulling in a little bit of moisture from a weaker disturbance sitting off to our north, and in fact, because of the strength of that storm, we're likely expecting less snow, and that's because all that moisture, instead of being gradually pulled in, is just getting ripped in, and it moves through very quickly. We get likely a centimeter or two from tomorrow night's snowfall, but we do get into, even though we miss a lot of the snow, is we get into the wind. Flurries develop late tomorrow in a pretty quick event through the later day tomorrow through mostly tomorrow evening. That's when the best bet for significant snowfall is. Minus 12 is the high tomorrow. As that cold air sets up, we drop to minus 26 tomorrow night. And when you factor in that gusty north to northwest wind that will set up during the night, it's going to feel closer to minus 40. So we're getting back into the dangerous wind chills for Saturday night, along with some blowing snow. Even though it's not accumulating much, it's going to be whipping around quite a bit. Lingering flurries, not producing additional accumulation, but still blowing around into Sunday. And still quite cold. Morning wind chills through the minus 30s. Likely not cracking minus 30 for the afternoon. The air temperature itself only minus 22. But we do break through to sunshine during the day Sunday. And once we do, there's a strong area of high pressure that's helping to dry things out. That sets us up for a dry start to the week. But as I mentioned, it just resets our warm-up. Minus 17 is the high on Monday, and minus 16 is the high on Tuesday. We're going to keep this pattern going with little pushes upward, followed by resets, little pushes upward. Still, we're likely to stay below average through the beginning, the first week or so of March.
All right, thank you, Phil. Now, turning to this hour's temperature roundup, it's minus 16 in the Paw, along with Wynyard, Wadena, and Calvington, minus 17 in Swan River and Indian Head, minus 18 degrees in Saskatoon this hour, minus 19 in Roblin, along with Regina. Dauphin reports minus 13, Brandon minus 20 degrees. Saskatoon again at minus 18, Hudson Bay 14, Broadview Mooseman minus 15 degrees. Wynyard, Wadena, and Calvington with the Paw at minus 16. Yorkton Melville, sunshine, south wind at 18, relative humidity 71%. Our temperature up 2 degrees in the past hour, now minus 18. Yesterday's high and low, minus 14, minus 23, normals for this date. Daytime highs around minus 7, overnight lows minus 18. The warmest place in the province yesterday was Belle Marie, minus 9. The coldest place in the province, Key Lake, minus 37. Across the border in Manitoba, Sprague, the best at minus 3. Lynn Lake, the coldest, minus 35. Sunrise this morning was at 10 to 8, and the sun will set this evening at 6:17. Again, our current temperature is minus 18. It's coming up on 12:24 now. You're listening to GX on Agriculture. It's 12:27 now. Ag Review is next. Rural Roots Canada will host an Ag Days workshop March 8th at the Western Development Museum in Yorkton. Craig Lester is with Rural Roots Canada.
We're an agricultural media production and distribution company that holds events every once in a while on top of our media services, and we're based out of Calgary. We're kind of geared towards farmers and anyone in the ag sector, and we try to follow the issues and different things that are going on in agriculture to get information out.
Lester says the theme of the Ag Days workshop at Western Development Museum March 8th will be investing in rural communities. He says the day-long workshop will give farmers a chance to access industry expertise on a number of crop and livestock production topics.
Ag Days is kind of an interactive mix of is an information day that's filled with, that we like to aim is very interactive. So we have a number of different speakers that come out, and then we also try and mix in a tour and a lunch and give farmers a chance to learn some stuff that can help their operations bottom line, as well as give them some fun things to do, check out some facilities that maybe they haven't seen before, or get an update if they have been there before, kind of what's going on there, as well as a chance to network with their fellow farmers.
So who will be speaking at the event, Craig?
We have Ag Exchange's Mike Wickowicz out of Winnipeg coming in to talk sort of thing. Dan Aberhart from Aberhart Ag Solutions is also going to be there. We have Mike Gottslig from Global Agri Solutions. He's going to be speaking. Caitlin Kitsan, a very interesting speaker, who is coming in to talk about her recent trade mission trip to Peru. She's part of the junior trade mission team for Canada, and yeah, she's going to be talking about that, as well as we have Rachel Kranick from Saskatchewan Agriculture, Ministry of Agriculture, will be speaking on a grant that producers can access to help their operations.
Lester says they'll also conduct tours of Harvest Meats and Back 40 Brewery.
We thought that would be an excellent opportunity to see what they're doing over the fine stuff that they're doing over there at Harvest Meats. And yeah, so we want to also go head over to the brewery afterwards, maybe for a bit of networking there and to catch up. And hey, you can't go wrong with having a bit of a social networking event in a place like that.
Rural Roots Ag Days, again, will take place March 8th at Western Development Museum in Yorkton. Lester says there's a $30 cost to attend.
Our big philosophy here is that we want to keep the money in the community. We don't want it to come back with us to Calgary. We would like to see it stay in the local community there, because I know that these are facilities that the farmers use every single day, and everyone in the community uses every single day, so we want to support that. So we're charging $30, and that all of the registration money goes to the Yorkton exhibition.
To register for Rural Roots Ag Days, visit ruralrootscanada.com. Finally, I asked Lester what he hopes farmers will take away from the workshop.
Well, I hope they would take away at least something that they can take back to their operation, a product or a service or a piece of information that will help their bottom line. As well, I hope it just gives them an opportunity to maybe get away from the operation and to network for a day and just have maybe a little bit of fun and learn a few things and just meet up and have a good conversation.
Craig Lester with Rural Roots Canada, the Calgary company, rather, will host a day-long Ag Days workshop March 8th at Western Development Museum in Yorkton. It's 12:30 now and time for Ag Review, a presentation of People's Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
Federal Ag Minister Lawrence McCauley has wrapped up a visit to the U.S. McCauley participated in a trilateral panel discussion along with his Mexican and U.S. counterparts at the USDA's 95th Annual Agricultural Outlook Forum. They discussed the importance of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico trading relationship and highlighted how farmers and processors in all three countries rely on a predictable and stable trade environment. With U.S.-China trade talks ongoing, U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue is refraining from saying how a deal with China would benefit agriculture. Stephanie Ho has more in this report.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says it is too early to talk about specifics of any possible ag sales to China.
I think that would all be very premature because those proposals are all contingent upon a grand deal.
One major outstanding issue is structural reforms that would involve intellectual property guarantees.
If we could get those kind of assurances regarding China taking intellectual property theft seriously, then we could see a renewed and expanded agricultural trade between the two countries. They have committed quantities that are significant.
He pointed to another area of disagreement.
We still have some real challenges when it comes to acceptance of those biotech traits that we think would be very helpful. And China has been somewhat intransigent in their acceptance and agreement to those types of policies as well.
Secretary Perdue spoke on the sidelines of USDA's annual Agricultural Outlook Forum. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA is expressing concern about a potential decline in farmland real estate prices. The U.S. ag sector has been suffering from lingering weakness in commodity prices and the loss of key export markets, such as China, due to U.S. President Trump's trade disputes. On the sidelines of the USDA forum this week, USDA chief economist Robert Johanson said, while there have been no signs of farmland prices falling yet, a potential significant price drop is something they're concerned may happen. U.S. exports to China have fallen more than 90% in the 2018-19 crop year, according to USDA data, and China has dropped to the fifth biggest market for U.S. farm exports, after being on the top of the list in 2017. That's fueled an increase in farm bankruptcies, but so far not a corresponding drop in land prices. The head of Canadian Pacific Railway has voiced displeasure at the idea of Alberta's $3.7 billion deal with Canada's two biggest rail companies to ship more crude via rail amid a pipeline crunch. Keith Creel says his company didn't like it at all when Alberta Premier Rachel Notley stepped in to work out a plan that aims to move up to 120,000 barrels of oil per day by rail by 2020, saying the government's presence in the commercial realm wasn't healthy. Creel nonetheless admitted the deal was just as good, if not better, than others hammered out by CP Rail. Weather has been relatively cooperative so far this winter, and that should bode well for the Quill Lakes region. Rita Marcinowski is executive director of the Quill Lakes Watershed Association.
Conditions were better this fall and into early winter, but we'll have to see how much precipitation the area receives for the remainder of the winter and into spring.
Flooding on the Quills has caused farmers to lose hundreds of acres of farmland over the last number of years, and due to the high salt content of the water, it's proven difficult to move the water in a safe way. Marcinowski says it's still too early to accurately guess how much runoff there will be from the Quills this spring.
Given drier topsoil conditions this fall and below normal snowfall earlier this winter, the Saskatchewan Water Security Agency is currently forecasting below average spring runoff for the Quill Lakes area. This outlook could change, though, since there is the potential for 8 more weeks of winter.
Marcinowski says the Quill Lakes Watershed Association is trying to keep their options open for a potential solution.
Our biggest obstacle is a lack of funding to develop and implement a flood mitigation project. Our association is looking forward to further engagement with all stakeholders, and we hope to find a solution to alleviate the effects of the flooding crisis and help farmers in need.
The Quill Lakes Watershed Association previously reported that farmers in the area lost about $74 million in crop and livestock value since the flooding began in 2012. The farm gate value of fruits and vegetables produced in this country increased 4.2% last year to $2.4 billion. The gain mainly the result of a 6.1% rise in the value of fruit to $1.1 billion. The value of vegetables was up for the eighth consecutive year to $1.2 billion in 2018. The highest value vegetables grown in the country were, first, carrots at almost $130 million. Tomatoes, onions, lettuce, and corn round out the top five. Cultivated area for veggies totaled over 103,000 hectares in 2018, with Ontario, Quebec, and BC accounting for 90% of the area. For fruits, higher prices for blueberries and cranberries contributed the most to the 6.1% increase in the value of fruit. StatsCan reports blueberries, apples, grapes, and cranberries were the highest value fruits grown in Canada last year. And one more thing, NDP agriculture critic Alistair McGregor has introduced a private member's bill that would create a tax credit incentive for organic farming. McGregor says farming can play a major role in climate change mitigation and adaptation, and the future must be one where conventional and organic farming methods come together. He says the tax incentive would encourage farmers to adopt techniques to reduce the use of harmful pesticides and synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, increase soil carbon sequestration, and reduce agriculture-related greenhouse gas emissions. The idea came from two grade 11 students in the MP's riding, and they traveled to Ottawa to see McGregor introduce the bill in the House of Commons. And that is today's Ag Review. It's 12:38 now. We have the Livestock Market Report coming up next.
Livestock Market Conditions.
April live cattle trading this afternoon at 128.85. That's up 25 cents from yesterday's close. June live cattle 119.37, up 12. March feeder cattle 143.07, down 15. April feeder cattle 145.32, down 20 cents. April lean hogs trading this afternoon at 55.67 a hundredweight, down 27. And May lean hogs 65.62, down 17 cents. Those are the latest U.S. livestock futures. It's 18 now before 1. We'll check grain prices at 10 to 1.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
There's a new insect hanging out in canola fields on the prairies. Dr. Boyd Morey at Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Saskatoon Research and Development Center says it's a new species of midge.
So we were studying the Swede midge, so another pest of canola that was identified in Saskatchewan in 2007, but we really hadn't found it since then. But we were carrying out studies, carrying out surveys, looking to see if we can find the Swede midge in different regions, and we were coming across some damage that was originally attributed to Swede midge, but it was slightly different compared to what they were seeing in eastern Canada. Dr. Julie Soroka, another research scientist with AAF, had some funded projects looking at Swede midge, and so we were carrying out a variety of field studies, and then we started to notice some weird things with the midge itself. It looked a little bit different than than that in eastern Canada. It was slightly larger, actually a little bit hairier. And then when we, the big tip-off was we conducted some genetic analyses and looked at this region of DNA that we call the barcode region. And that really showed us that it wasn't the same species. And then we followed up with experts at the Canadian National Collection in Ottawa. And when they had a look, they also agreed that it wasn't Swede Midge and it was perhaps a new species.
Morey says to the best of their knowledge, this is the first time this species of midge has been discovered anywhere in the world.
We've talked with other researchers in Europe and other parts of the world, and also the world expert who's based out of the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and no one had ever seen this species before.
Morey tells us what they've been able to learn about the new species of midge so far.
It's been an interesting one. We don't know if it's a native or invasive species. So far, the only plant that we've been able to been able to find it on is canola. And of course, canola is not native to this region. And so that was very interesting to us. We've looked at, you know, different weed species that are in the same family as canola, so the brassica species. We haven't been able to find it.
Morey says canola flower midge has been found across a wide section of the canola growing region on the prairies.
We've been working with colleagues with Alberta Agriculture and Forestry, and so they've been looking across Alberta for us. They found it up in the Peace region. They found it all throughout central Alberta. Here in Saskatchewan, we found it basically as far south as Yorkton on the eastern half of the province. On the western half, we're down to about Kindersley, and then all the way up to you know, the northern extent to the forest. And then in Manitoba this year, we were able to confirm it from Portage la Prairie, and that's the furthest east and also the furthest south we've ever seen this species before.
Morey says although canola flower midge is widespread, finding it in a field is almost like finding a needle in a haystack.
The damage it causes, so it causes the flowers to remain closed and fused together, and then when you open those up, you'll see little tiny larvae inside. And so you might see kind of one or two flowers on a raceme, and we are checking hundreds of racemes in a field, and often we'd only find, you know, upwards of 10 flowers in an entire in all of our samples in the field. So it is like finding a needle in a haystack.
How concerned should farmers be about this new species of midge?
The way I like to think of it is it's a little bit of a good thing. We know that it's not Swede midge, and Swede midge can be absolutely devastating, especially in canola. In Ontario, the canola industry has just been hammered by Swede midge, and they have to do multiple insecticide sprays just to get a handle on it. In fact, it's been so bad there that there's been grower groups who have asked for a 3-year moratorium on canola production to try and lower Swede midge population. So the fact that this species isn't Swede midge, I think, is a good thing. The damage that we've seen is very minimal. You know, farmers are probably losing more flowers to, you know, a heavy rainfall event or heat blast during the summer currently than they are to this midge. That's not to say in the future, you know, populations might build up and there could be a potential outbreak, but right now the damage is very minimal.
Morey says they want to continue to assess the canola flower midge.
Myself and another research scientist here, Dr. Megan Vankoski, we have two research projects on this canola flower midge. One is to continue to investigate and delimit the distribution of it. We want to learn more about its life cycle and its biology. We want to know, you know, how many generations does it have a year. We know there's at least two natural enemies that can parasitize this midge, so we want to keep track of that and see if those are found across the region, and maybe that's what's helping to control these populations. We're also developing a pheromone monitoring tool for it. So pheromone monitoring tools can be very helpful, especially when we have really low populations and these midges are hard to find in the field. So we can lure these into traps, and then we can check these traps weekly and see what we have. So yes, we're continuing this work, and we're going to continue to look at yield as well and the potential impact of yield for this species.
Are there any other new insects on the radar, Boyd?
So far, it's just the usual suspects. There's always those that we're worried about and worried that might establish here, but so far we haven't seen them. One, for instance, is the pollen beetle, another pest in Europe, and it's now been found in eastern Canada, in Prince Edward Island. So we're on the lookout for that, but we have yet to find it here on the prairies.
And finally, I asked Dr. Morey about the impact of the prolonged cold snap on insects that overwinter here.
You know, earlier when we had less snow cover, it probably helped to reduce some of our insect populations. I've heard in other insect pests, for instance, in mountain pine beetle, this cold weather will really impact their overwintering populations and help to reduce those. Those that are overwintering in the soil here, if they had a good snow cover on the fields, they are probably doing okay. But those more exposed areas, definitely this cold will help reduce those populations.
Dr. Boyd Morey is a researcher at the Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Saskatoon Research and Development Centre. It's 10 now before 1.
Commodities update.
Well, canola futures are down in early afternoon trading today. March canola, $472.90, down $1.90. May canola trading at $480.70, down $2.20. March Minneapolis wheat, $570 and a half a bushel, up 12 and three quarters. March Kansas City wheat, $459 and a quarter, up 4 cents. March Chicago wheat, $488 a bushel, that's up 1 and a half. March corn, $376 and a quarter, up 0.75 cents. March soybeans, $912 and three quarters, up 1 and three quarters. And finally, March oats trading this afternoon at $270 and a quarter. And that's up 0.25 cents. Grain markets. We're keeping close tabs on the U.S.-China trade talks going on in Washington, D.C. President Trump and his Chinese counterpart have a meeting scheduled for this afternoon. It's not known if there will be an extension to the March 1st U.S. tariff deadline. The Americans are threatening to increase current tariffs on Chinese products to 25% compared to the current 10%. The two sides have been meeting all week in Washington. Errol Anderson is an analyst with ProMarket Communications in Calgary.
China did make a gesture that they may purchase up to $30 billion of U.S. ag products in principle, and this supported the market late week overall. But the U.S. grain futures are still grinding. Those soybeans did tumble early week and then recovered. Canola basically followed the momentum of these U.S. markets. March canola did break temporarily below its 470 a metric ton, but then recovered.
Anderson talks about the canola market moving forward.
Technically, we believe that the old crop canola is now becoming oversold, but fresh demand is now needed to sustain a rally into the late winter market. One Canada bids are now wide-ranging between about $10 upwards to about $10.50 per bushel, depending on location. For spring delivery and movement, deferred delivery bids and contracts may firm up as much as 50 cents per bushel overall.
Anderson says Durham bids are recovering from their harvest lows.
One CW Amber Durham 13% bids are now approaching $7 per bushel or higher. That's about $1.50 per bushel off the fall lows. Durham acres, we believe, are apt to be lower this spring, which could help support Canadian prices in the new crop year.
And there's been recent pressure on milling wheat values.
Russian export prices have weakened recently more than 10%, which has rippled into our North American markets. But China remains an active buyer of Canadian 1CWRS wheat, which is supporting our prices right now.
Errol Anderson with ProMarket Communications in Calgary. And one more thing before we go today. Rod Bain reports now from the USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum in Washington. He says panelists reached a consensus this week that reform in regulations related to agricultural biotech is needed to assure a safe, healthy food supply for a growing global population.
Precision biotechnology as a tool to feed the world's growing population, expected to be close to 10 billion people by the year 2050. One of the challenges in utilizing this tool, according to the plenary panel at this year's USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum, is regulatory in nature.
We need to figure out how to make sure that either the system is fixed or that how we regulate it changes to ensure these products get to market.
And the U.S. is putting many of our producers and genetics programs in a competitive disadvantage out there.
In the global marketplace, according to Mitch Abramson of Recombinetics, joined by Jack Bobo of Intextron, and National Association of State Departments of Agriculture CEO Barbara Glenn, who says while challenges remain in regulatory reform for livestock and poultry biotechnology.
Basically, and domestically, the regulation of plant biotechnology is working. Plants are so far ahead of animals.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
It's 12:58 now, and we'll close out GX on Agriculture with our precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Musiman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly to mainly sunny this afternoon, wind south 10 to 20, high minus 12. Clear tonight, south-southeast wind 10 to 20, overnight low minus 20. Cloudy tomorrow, southeast wind 10 to 20 once again, high minus 12. Cloudy at first on Sunday, then becoming sunny. Wind northwest 20, gust at 30, high minus 22. Sunny Monday, up to minus 17, continuing sunny on Tuesday, high near minus 16. On the temperature roundup this hour, it's minus 16 in the Paw, along with Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington. Minus 17 for Swan River, Shoal Lake Russell, and Indian Head. Dauphin reports minus 13, Brandon minus 20 degrees. It's minus 19 in Roblin, along with Regina. Saskatoon minus 18, Hudson Bay minus 14 degrees. It's minus 13 in Dauphin. Yorkton, Melville, sunshine. South wind at 18, relative humidity 71%, or current temperature is minus 18 degrees. And that's our time for today. Join me again Monday afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald.